In a world where hypnosis podcasts come and go, one man is here to deliver a knockout, no-holds-barred approach and deliver electrifying interviews with the world's top experts so you can discover the secrets to their success. Introducing the Hawaii Hypnosis Podcast. Subscribe to the newsletter and get instant access to 4 free skill-building audios that utilize a revolutionary hypnotic approach to improve your skills from the inside out. It's practically bulletproof. As a member of Hawaii Hypnosis, you'll join the ranks of the movers and shakers in the hypnosis and NLP community and discover how to significantly improve your skills from the inside out.
Aloha, this is Antonio Perez. Today I'm interviewing my good friend, Reg Blackwood, a.k.a. the Quicknitus from New Zealand. How you doing, Reg?
I'm good, how are you?
Doing wonderful. So how's the weather over in New Zealand right now?
Freezing cold.
Freezing.
We're in the middle of winter, so it's never pretty. Oh no, it's always pretty. It's just not very warm.
It's not comfortable.
No. You know, heaters on day and night, and I don't know anything we can do to keep warm. Really.
I don't know. It's too unbearable here. Super hot. And just imagine having to wake up day after day after day with the sun and the beach and the palm trees.
Unbearable. Yeah, all right. I'd swap places with you right now.
So a few minutes ago, Reg had brought up a really good point when we were talking about how street hypnosis is that a lot of people are doing street hypnosis totally wrong. Now, Reg, would you mind talking about this?
Well, it occurred to me that, you know, a lot of street hypnotists out there, they're managing to alienate hypnotherapists. They're managing to alienate stage hypnotists, and they're just generally doing a great job of pissing everybody off. So I wondered, you know, what is it that they're doing? And then I started watching a few videos on YouTube, and I saw it straight away. It's not good. It's really, really not good. Everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's a clone of whatever DVD they learnt off, and it's just not entertaining at all. If anything, it comes across as being a bit creepy.
Yeah, I would probably have to agree. I'm going to have to agree with that, and I think I have probably come off creepy before, because hypnosis is creepy to a lot of people. Unlike, I mean, we all know what it is.
You're not doing anybody any favors if you're just one guy out on your own and you're approaching one person and you're only performing for the camera, you know? YouTube is not an audience. It's like, who are you entertaining exactly? Not you personally, Antonia, obviously. I'm speaking generally here, but...
Oh, yeah, because people love seeing me on video.
Of course.
Not really.
But there's so much testosterone out there, do you know what I mean? And it's no wonder that they're giving us a bad name, to be honest.
Yeah, and then things like the... if Han Wong is listening to me, you know exactly what induction I'm going to talk about. Like, the zap induction...
Yeah.
Talking about literally ripping somebody's arm out of their socket. It's almost like you rip the arm out of the socket, you yell sleep, and you hit them in the face with their own arm.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, you see these hypnotists creeping around pub tables and in parks and in squares, and there's usually just them and a camera, and they're just approaching somebody who's on their own, and you just think, this is, you know, what are you doing? You're meant to be entertaining, not molesting people. it's seriously creepy, and I can see exactly, it's like I had a revelation, I can see exactly why the old school stage hypnotists are so against it, and why a lot of hypnotherapists just think it's really inappropriate as well. So I think we've got a responsibility here to make it an entertainment again. I'm a street performer, okay, that's part of what I do. I do stage shows as well, but when I'm out there hypnotizing people on the street, I am actually entertaining people. You know, I'm entertaining crowds of people. And yet, of course, I've videoed some of that for YouTube, and some of those videos on YouTube are very close in on the subject, so you can't necessarily see that people are watching. But I'm speaking loudly. I'm remembering that it's a performance because people around me are interested in what's going on.
Like, you're talking about how YouTube isn't the audience?
No.
A lot of street hypnotists want to make it about themselves and not about their client or their subject.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've just had enough, to be honest, Antonio, and you probably called either at the right time or the wrong time. It's just, you know, there's people out there saying, you don't need a trance state. You know, you can get phenomena without any kind of trance state. Well, yeah, fair enough, but you know what? Nobody's told the millions of people all over the world who are getting hypnotized daily by hypnotherapists or by stage hypnotists, because you tell them sleep and they sleep. So I don't want to educate the volunteer, and the volunteer or the client doesn't want to be educated. They want to be hypnotized, so hypnotize them. And the same goes for the audience. The audience don't want to be educated. They want to be entertained, so entertain them.
Yeah, that made me think about something the other day, how if you get a bunch of hypnotists around talking to each other, they're going to talk about techniques and metaphors and all this. Let's say if somebody wants to quit smoking, they say, hey, help me to quit smoking. You're not going to talk to them about why it works, what technique you're going to use. You're going to tell them, hey, this is what I can do for you. They don't really want a hypnotist. They want to quit smoking. That's what they want.
Yeah, absolutely right. They want the end result. You just mentioned something there that reminded me of something else. You say groups of hypnotists get together talking. You know, there are gangs of hypnotists out there that go out doing street hypnosis. What sort of message does that send? It says, hey, this isn't anything special. Anybody can do it. Look, there's 10 of us here. We can all do it. It's nothing special. Do us a favor.
Yeah, a hypnotic gangbang.
Yeah, well, that's happening. It's happening all the time, and it just makes it look like it's something that anybody can do. It makes it less special, and they wonder why they're getting the poor success rates that they're getting. You know, everybody tells you to go out there with a positive mindset and to be the hypnotist, you know? But if you're the hypnotist, then who are you entertaining, really? You can't really be the hypnotist if nobody's watching.
True.
You know, if the only other people are watching are a whole bunch of other hypnotists, then that's pretty sad, really.
And you're right about the whole creep factor, where people come off kind of creepy. It's like, it just totally downgrades the profession.
It does. You know what? It's killing the industry, and it's suffocating the art form. And I do sound like one of those crusty old guys now on the forum, but I actually see what they mean. I really see what they mean, because it's not doing any of us any favors whatsoever.
Join the ranks of the movers and shakers in the hypnosis and NLP community. Subscribe to the newsletter and discover why this podcast is taking the world by storm.
What kind of tips do you have for my audience, for the people that are listening to this right now, to bring it back, to do it the right way?
Okay, well, you know, I mean, all of my tips really are about remembering that this is a performance, okay? And the other thing is, right, I see a lot of people that are incompetent. They go out and they expect to do like a full hypnosis routine the first time they go out. So my first tip would be, have a clear purpose, all right? As fun as it might sound, running around town hypnotizing people willy-nilly, it'll soon wear thin. And to be honest, this has come to fruition. 2 years ago, look at the number of people, the number of magicians who were out there saying, I'm a street hypnotist, I'm the hypnotist. And then a couple of months later, they're back doing card tricks, juggling or accountancy or whatever it was they were doing. Okay? Because they got bored of it. And they found it wasn't maybe as easy as they thought it was. So all I'm saying is, be clear of your purpose before you go out. So early on, don't try and get that amazing, funny 40-minute street show, complete with, you know, invisibility and stealing people's wallets and whatever it might be. Just set yourself some very simple goals, and that way your confidence and technique will improve, but also you'll end up giving a much richer experience to the people that you're actually hypnotizing. You know, you won't be bored, they won't be bored. I remember the first month I went out, you know, I just thought, I'm just going to try one or two different fast inductions. I'll give some positive motivational suggestions and I'll wake them up again. Nothing else. because I wanted to get good at that. I wanted to really master that before I then moved on to the next bit. So then maybe the next month you could maybe, you know, add some simple phenomena, a hand stick or something, and then leave them laughing. Okay? And then when you're good at that, slowly, little by little, you can add different stuff. Find out what works best for you. Find out what the spectators enjoy. And before long, you'll have a street show that's different to anybody else's because you've actually paid attention to what people in your area are actually laughing at and what they think's worth watching. So yeah, the first thing is, you know, just be clear of your purpose and have some one or two simple goals each time you go out. I mean, one of your goals can just be to practice some new inductions that you're keen to try out. Practice them as re-inductions. And if you do that, next time you go out, maybe those fast inductions that you were trying as re-inductions will become your main induction, you know? You've got to get good at it before you go out there and try and entertain people. So you just got to do it slowly, little by little. So that's a long tip, but that's my first one. Okay. The second tip I'd say is aim for groups of people. And this reduces the creep factor. All right. You're going for a group of people. Now, what does that say? Well, first of all, you've got to really think about the time of day that you're going at. You've got to think about where the best locations are to come across groups of people. You've got to find out what time of day is best. You know, lunchtime on weekdays is hardly ever good because people aren't hanging out with time on their hands. They're like rushing between the office and wherever they're getting their lunch and back again. So do a bit of homework. Just find out what are the best days, the best time of day, and the best locations to find those groups of people that are hanging out with time on their hands. Don't approach individuals because you're not only in danger of looking a little bit creepy, but with a group you can play the numbers game. You can increase your chances of being successful and the rest of that group are now your ready-made audience. You know, any street performer will tell you if you've got a few people gathered round, crowd mentality kicks in and all of a sudden a lot of people want to stand around and watch what's going on as well. So when you've got the group, you've approached your group or they've approached you, which we'll come on to in a little while, you've got to play some games, you know, get their interest, do some icebreakers, as I call them, just to see who you might be able to work best with. It's not really about suggestibility tests. It's like finding out who's best at focusing, who's best at following your instructions in that kind of environment. And like I say, you shouldn't really be approaching anyone at all. You've got to think of some creative ways that you can set up and get people to approach you. So, you know, we've all heard that you can make a sign or attach a poster to a nearby fence or a window or whatever. Or you could start some other kind of performance. Do you know what I mean? If you can juggle, then why not juggle to gather a crowd? You know, do something that's going to attract people around and let them know that something is going on. And the first volunteer is always the hardest one to get. So once your crowd see you treating someone well, then they're all going to want to go. So maybe you could take your favorite somnambulist friend along with you and they can be your first subject and you can start by hypnotizing them and doing some fun stuff and the crowd will gather. The next one, my third tip would be rather than go out there and think, yes, I'm the hypnotist and I'm going to hypnotize every single person I come across, this whole positive mindset thing, you know, to be honest, if you go out there with balls of steel and an invincible no-fail attitude, it doesn't really make any difference. You're still going to fail. So you've got to kind of expect failure and you've got to know how to deal with it. Okay? You're going to fail. It's as simple as that. You're not going to go out there and be able to hypnotize 100% of the people that you come across. You know, everybody, all these trainers tell you, oh, confidence is king, act as though you can hypnotize every man, woman, or beast on the planet, and you're going to be successful. But in reality, you won't be able to hypnotize everybody you meet, and sometimes you're going to fail even more than you succeed. So you just need to accept that and deal with it. And when you can't hypnotize someone, don't stress about it. Just, you know, maybe act a little surprised, say thank you very much, make some excuses, and then just move on to somebody else. And part of that is remembering that most people out there don't know as much about hypnosis as you do. They don't know the difference between an induction and a deepener. So if you jump in between icebreakers and inductions, you can just frame everything as an experiment, and some of those experiments can be quite entertaining. And to be honest, once you're out there and you're being entertaining, nobody really notices or cares when you fail. Have you done much, Antonio, as far as just, you know, street hypnosis?
Not too much. Now I feel like I'm the one that's being interviewed. No, I haven't. I haven't done much. We actually have a art festival here on the island of Kauai every Friday. I'm thinking about setting up a table, making some CDs for stress relief, etc. Putting a sign saying, "Hey, free hypnosis," and then once they feel the power of the hypnosis, then I'll be like, "Hey, if you guys want, I've got some CDs you can buy," and that basically it'll help me to make money and get practice.
That's a good idea. And you know what? You will find, right, when you fail to hypnotize someone, do you know the most common thing that you hear from them?
What's that?
They say sorry. They actually apologize to you.
Oh, that's good. It's like, I failed to do my job and you're the one apologizing? Awesome.
Exactly right. So, you know, this whole fear of failure thing, don't worry about it. The most common response you get is that one word, sorry. They go, "Oh, I'm really sorry." You go, "Oh, that's fine." But they're apologizing to you. It's like, "Look, you're obviously a professional guy, but I haven't been able to do what it was that you wanted me to do, i.e. be hypnotized, therefore I'm sorry." It's really weird, but that's the most common thing I hear if I don't manage to hypnotize somebody.
It's always good hearing once, "I'm sorry."
Yeah, exactly. Well, once people realize that, then it kind of gets rid of a lot of that fear of failure. And you will fail. I'm sorry, it's, you know, it is very much a numbers game, and you are going to fail. There's some people that you could hit them over the head and they're still not going to go under. Don't do that, by the way. That's probably another... That's tip 3A. Don't hit them over the head.
Yeah, you don't want to hit people. Bad word of mouth marketing.
Yeah, definitely. But linked to that is my next tip, which is don't go for the dramatic inductions. Okay, we talked a bit earlier about one of those dramatic inductions, and we've seen everything from arm pulls to drop backs to some, you know, neck snapping head twists. And if you're into that, if you really want to drop people on the dirty ground and have the crowd gathered gasping because you're so successful, well, don't do hypnosis. You know, go do some martial arts or something.
No kidding.
Exactly. Lots of opportunity to drop people on the floor there.
Go be Jackie Chan's stunt double.
Please do. Stay away from my art. Do gentle inductions. You know, have them sitting down at first. I always recommend that to people when they're first going out there. You can always find a bench. You can have a low wall or something. Or take a chair along with you. And when I say gentle inductions, I mean, you know, some of those quieter ones like the Elman eye closure or magnetic hands. And it relies on them sort of focusing and imagining and concentrating rather than a shock induction.
I think the reason I like shock induction so much is they work so good on me. I was at the Igor Ledohosky training. Have you ever heard of, you know, Steve Rame is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at... was at that training, and I had told him, I was like, "Yeah, I want to know what it's like to have the hand drop." And, oh boy, as soon as he did that, I like it because it's an instantaneous boom. And you just kind of feel like you're floating. And that, the reason I like them so much is they work the best for me, or on me.
Yeah. Well, I find in a show, and this is, you know, a little bit of a sort of secrets of stage hypnosis, I can do dramatic inductions, but they don't really give me a good indication of who I'm going to keep for the rest of the show. Because, as you say, the majority of people will go straight away with those dramatic inductions. But then you tend to lose them fairly early on in the show. So by doing something gentle, you're doing a lot of that vetting a lot earlier. You know, if somebody's responding well to a more subtle, gentle induction, then the chances are that you're going to be able to keep them a bit longer because they're obviously a better subject than the person that you dropped to the ground and everybody laughed because it looked like they were hypnotized, but actually they were just complying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, if you do want them standing up at some point, just remember when you do tell them to sleep that they might fall over. So either get them to sit down again before you say sleep, or you actually say sleep and stand. And even when you say sleep and stand, you've got to be prepared to catch them anyway, because some people still, you know, their knees buckle and they still go down.
I found that out on accident. We're outside a restaurant, and I told this guy, I was like, sleep. And all of a sudden his legs buckled, so I was like, oh no. And I grabbed so he wouldn't hit the ground. So ever since I did that, it was a good lesson for me. Because even though say it might be legal to practice hypnosis wherever you're at, if you cause somebody harm, you better believe you can have a lawsuit.
Yeah, well, this is my problem with the whole, sort of transless hypnosis model as well, is because some people will just go. And if you haven't been trained to do what you're meant to do if somebody does actually close their eyes and go all floppy, then you're in trouble, really, you know, because what do you do? People will run that pattern. There are some people out there that will run that pattern at the most subtle suggestion of hypnosis. So if you've been taught to do it without trance and without eye closure, you know what? It's going to happen anyway. And if you haven't seen it happen, then you haven't hypnotized enough people. Incidentally, you mentioned that you did a shock induction at Eagle's workshop.
Yeah.
Why is he doing inductions? I thought he was conversational hypnosis.
Oh, no. That one, I think he'd start off, he showed we all just did like one induction. It was the first like hour or two, and basically practiced going to hypnosis. And then the actual induction, it was during a break time when I was talking to Steve and Rain. And if you're listening to Steve, thank you for all of the laughs at my expense. He had hypnotized me with the hand drop, and it worked so good. And he also told me anytime you see the word sleep, you'll return to the same state. And he thought it'd be funny. He's like, hey, he had people write the word sleep on cards. So I'd walk up to people, and as soon as I saw sleep, I'd be like, oh, God. And all the co-trainers knew. The co-trainers knew. So I was walking up to people, and I should have known when I saw people pulling their cameras out. It didn't really make any sense. And I saw the word sleep. I was like, oh, God. So it was basically sleep and stand. I would sit there and surf. I get really giddy if I feel a trance. I get like a laugh and I get real giddy.
Well, I hope they treated you well, because my next tip is to treat your subjects with respect. You know what? I have the attitude that I have towards somnambulists, or those that we call somnambulists, is that they're very talented individuals. Okay, and that's the best way to look at it, because let's face it, without them there'd be no stage shows, no entertainment hypnosis at all, and let's face it, probably no hypnotists if we didn't have those talented individuals. So you've got to treat people like yourself with respect. You know, we've got to make your comfort, your pride, your safety of paramount importance, and then you're going to give your best in return. And it's like, you know, try not to be annoyed with them if the suggestions aren't carried out successfully, which can and does happen even if they are hypnotized. Sometimes you just need to keep that whole hypnotist-hypnotee relationship going, and you can do that by just asking for some simple acts of compliance between the suggestions, and make them smile, make them laugh, make them feel great, and then you'll see the other somnambulists from the crowd will soon emerge wanting to be treated exactly the same way. So that's my fifth tip, is to treat those people really well.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I want to comment on. Stephen, yeah, he awesome hypnotist and an all-around great human being, and definitely treated me with respect. Yeah, nice. You don't want to, because a lot of people have a view of hypnosis as being power, undue power over somebody.
Well, when you look at some of the videos, Antonio, you can see why people would draw those conclusions, because, as I say, there's a lot of testosterone out there, and there's a lot of alpha males really just kind of dominating people and trying to have control over them, and that's the sort of shit that just doesn't belong here, you know?
You mean like the PUA, the PUA, the pickup industry?
Yeah, well, it's getting a bit like that, isn't it? You know, the whole hypnosis, the street hypnosis thing is getting a little bit like that. I see people not being treated with respect. And at the end of the day, it's what they're doing is boring anyway. So if you're trying to exert some sort of control over somebody and you're getting laughs out of it and it's entertaining and that person is actually enjoying the experience, that's all well and good. But when it's all about just you and your ego and, you know, trying to control people, I don't know, it's not entertaining. I think most people turn their nose up at it.
Yeah, and if whoever's listening to this, if you want to control somebody, get a gun. A lot easier.
Well, not so easy in New Zealand, but yeah. Yeah.
Okay, the, get a stick or get a really big Maori.
Yeah.
That get a bodyguard.
Yeah. Okay, my sixth tip is that you've got to really define your performance area. Okay? What we're trying to do is, there's a formula that's worked for years and years and years, tens and tens of years, and it's the one that's used in stage hypnosis. Okay? So when we're doing street hypnosis, to do it successfully, what you've really got to do is make the conditions as close to those of a stage show as possible. All right? So you don't have a stage when you're out there on the street, but if you watch other street performers and watch what they do, they've got particular ways that they define their area. They've got ways that they tell the crowd where to stand. It's basically like a stage in the street. And there's all sorts of reasons for doing it that way, because it's a lot safer for the people that you hypnotize, for the people watching. It shows that you're professional. You know, all of a sudden you're commanding an area. You're not just kind of creeping up to people while they're enjoying a beer or picnic or whatever. You're actually showing, right, there's a performance about to happen. And, you know, I think that has a big effect on the type of people that you attract and the type of people that you do end up hypnotizing. So leading on from that, number seven is, remember, it is a performance. I mean, okay, you might not be doing this as an actual street performance. You might just be doing it as a demonstration. You know, you could be at a networking event and you want to do a bit of impromptu hypnosis as a demonstration. Well, remember, it is a demonstration. I've seen so many clips where the hypnotist is practically whispering in the ear of their subject. There's no need for that. There's no need for that sort of level of intimacy. If you're entertaining, then the crowd want to hear what you're saying. But also, you've got the crowd there, so you can make the person that you're hypnotizing interact with the crowd. You know, you can interact with the crowd. One of the reasons for me doing icebreakers is that it's something that the whole crowd gets involved in. And you can do those at any time during your performance or your demonstration. So that would be my seventh thing. We're getting through them now.
I promise I won't interrupt too much more. I want to comment on the thing about not whispering in somebody's ear. That ties into one of your earlier comments about don't be creepy.
There's some cute girl,
and you whisper in some cute girl's ear.
Yeah.
Even if she's not creeped out, everybody else is going to look at you like, what did he just say to her? We need to go rescue her.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, very early on, I've probably told you this story before, but very early on when I first did street hypnosis, I had a girl. She got her eyes closed. We were in the middle of an induction. I touched her on the shoulder because I'd forgot to warn her that I might touch her on the shoulder. And as soon as my hand touched her shoulder, she freaked out. Because
really bad freak out?
Yeah, pretty bad. It was pretty bad. It took quite a while to calm her down. But you've got to remember that, you know, if you're a guy and really you're a stranger to this person, and if you suddenly touch them unexpectedly, even if it is in a socially acceptable place to touch them, like her shoulder, some people don't like being touched. Some people, if they've got their eyes closed and they feel a hand on them, they're not necessarily sure where that hand is, and some people do freak out. So that's not an actual tip, but it's something that's worth remembering. I guess linked in with that is the eighth thing, which is make it a personal experience for the person that you're hypnotizing. Okay? It's all linked to this treating them well and treating them like a talented individual. Well, find out what kind of suggestion they actually enjoy best or perform best. Use their name and other personal details when you're dealing with them. You know, remember they're a person. They want to feel involved. And this is where you maybe deal with the problem that they've been having. You know, a lot of the non-intrusive hypnotherapy techniques don't need to know the underlying causes. They don't even need to know what the problem is or the goal that the person wants to achieve. We'll use something like that. Okay? And you can do that in the wake-up, and that's the ninth tip, is do a proper wake-up. Even if you suspect that this person hasn't really been hypnotized, even if you've only gone part of the way through the process with them, you've got to do a proper wake-up, because you're in a public place. You don't know what's going to happen to that person once they've left you. So it's a bit of sort of safety paranoia, really, but you're just covering your ass as well, because if that person gets hypnotized, they've never been hypnotized before, you let them go, they go and jump in their car and they have a minor accident, okay? Who are they going to blame? They're going to blame you, and if they're not going to blame you, then their parent will blame you or their partner will blame you. So just make sure that you do a proper wake-up and make sure it's the same wake-up that you do with everybody that you hypnotize. That way you can say, this is my wake-up, this is the one I was taught, here it is scripted, it's the only part of my set that I actually script, and here's videos of me doing it with every single person that I hypnotize. Oh, look, here's a video of me doing exactly the same thing with that person, and then checking before they went away that they were actually alert. Okay. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but you've just got to be careful. And you know the great thing? This is a real tip, actually, in relation to the wake up. When I do a stage show, I always do something like a little gift for the people that have been on stage with me or have done street hypnosis with me. I actually give them something so that they leave feeling fantastic. Okay, and maybe you could deal with some stuff in there too, hypnotherapy wise, but it's definitely a good place to be doing that. So that's the ninth one, is the wake up. Tenth and final tip is, for goodness sake, give them a business card when they leave. Okay, and what, you don't have one, really? Well, how do you expect anyone to take you seriously? Go back to juggling card tricks or accountancy, or whatever it was that you were doing. You know, get a business card with hypnotist or hypnotherapist, whatever it might be. They're not expensive. You know, you can get them done online. There's even vending machines that will print out business cards for you. Just have something with your contact details. It's all about that looking professional and looking like you care about that person.
I've never heard of a vending machine printing out business cards.
You know what? I actually found myself in the UK and I'd run out of business cards, and I went into a shopping mall and they had a vending machine printing business cards. They're very basic ones, but for me that's good because I end up giving so many away anyway. I use them for magic tricks. I use them for all kinds of things, and you know, I scrawl on the back of them and I do drawing duplications. So all I needed was a very basic plain white business card printed on one side. And that's what I got from a vending machine.
You know, and speaking about that, I know you have one magic trick. Well, you have more than one magic trick, but there's one magic trick where yeah, you use. It's a really good way to give out business cards. I think it's a self-working trick. Would it be okay if I gave that PDF away to people?
Yeah, sure. No problem at all. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, anybody that's listening to this right now, if you look somewhere on the blog post, or if you're listening to this podcast on YouTube, you'll see a link. Go ahead and click that link. What it is, it's pay with a tweet. So if you use Twitter, you go ahead and you click the link, and when you send out a tweet, you'll have the chance to be able to download that PDF and learn a really cool magic trick.
It's a good way of giving your business card away, and you know, a memorable way of giving your business card away. And it works great as an icebreaker as well. In those situations where I said you need to get somebody's interest or you need to get people gathered round, well, you know, card tricks are as valid a way of doing that as any, so why not? I'm on a mission here, you know. I really want street hypnosis to be respected. I really want it to be seen as a valid form of entertainment. And, you know, get paid for doing it. There's so many opportunities for festivals to do walk-around work and actually get some money for doing this, rather than just hanging out with your gang of hypnotists and and approaching people and making them feel creeped out.
Yeah, hypnosis, honestly, you don't need hypnosis to make somebody feel creepy.
Exactly.
You don't need hypnosis to do that. You can just go up and give somebody a sneer. eyeball a girl, and just, like, look directly at her breasts and not in her eyes. Yeah, you don't need hypnosis to put somebody off.
No, absolutely. And don't be a clone, you know? Don't just go out there and copy what I do. Try and be creative. A scripted approach to hypnosis makes you look like a pale imitation of the person that wrote the script, all right? Stop trying one thing over and over and expecting it to work on 10 people. It's much better to have 10 things that's going to work on one person. I love Derren Brown. I really do. But I just think it's high time. Everybody stop trying to bloody be him and just move on, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. When I was watching the Assassin show, I was trying to explain to my girlfriend, like, look, they're kind of stretching the reality of it.
Yeah.
Or not kind of. He stretches. I mean, he's a great entertainer. A lot of people don't realize that first and foremost, and even I didn't realize this at first, or didn't really think about it, he's an entertainer.
Yeah,
he's a brilliant entertainer. When you can, basically, he's got people, he's got the hypnotists and a lot of NLPers that analyzes stuff to death, and by the time they do that, it's basically a guise. He's doing other stuff and using the guise of hypnosis and NLP.
Of course he is. He's misleading the hypnotist as much as he's misleading everybody else. It's just gone a bit too far. I love what he does, and I think he's great, but I just think anybody else out there that's doing similar stuff just looks, as I say, they just look like they're copying him. And really, are you going to get many bookings for work if you're just saying, I'm a Derren Brown wannabe, which is what they're subconsciously saying? And, you know, nobody cares what phenomena you can achieve without trance. Audiences, in my experience, love the mystique behind inductions and reinductions, even if they don't know what they are, you know? They know that the hypnotist says sleep and people close their eyes and go, well, floppy, well, embrace the trance state, you know? Don't shy away from the word sleep.
Yeah, people look at it and it's like, oh my god, he just said sleep and their heads fell forward. What just happened?
Exactly. Exactly. And you don't, you know, I've put out a thing before, which is all the creative ways that you can get somebody to sleep. You don't just have to say the word sleep. You can link it to all sorts of things. Like you say, you know, something written on a piece of card. That's just one way of about 1,000 ways that you can get people to sleep. I just think it's... It's really annoying me at the moment, right? So you can hypnotize. So what? Big deal. My 9-year-old daughter can do it too. Seriously, she knows how to hypnotize people. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Where do you go next?
And you know, the hypnotic state, anybody listening, I don't want to get into a debate about state and this and that. I really don't care. All I know is hypnosis works. It's good enough for me.
Do you go into a hypnotic state when you're hypnotized?
Yeah, I like to.
You like to? There you go. Well, do you know what? Audiences like people to as well. And people generally like to. I've tried it. I've experimented with lots of transless phenomena. And there's always a number of people that are going to run that pattern to go into a trance. Yeah, I don't particularly believe in the trance state either. But the people I hypnotize seem to, so therefore I'm going to utilize it. There you go, that's utilization.
Yeah, that's right. Just keep on doing whatever you're doing.
I want to say one last thing as well, okay? People you hypnotize on a course don't count as volunteers. And a training course isn't a show. Get out of the classroom and get some real experience. And that includes the hypnosis trainers too.
Exactly, using the real world.
You're listening to the Hawaii Hypnosis Podcast. Can I ask you to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by going to hawaiihypnosis.org/iTunes and give us a 5-star rating?
Reg, the one product that I've seen of yours that I absolutely love is the widely acclaimed Streetnosis program. Would you mind talking about that for a little bit?
Yep, Streetnosis is an online training course. Okay, there's hours and hours and hours of video of me not only teaching in a classroom environment, but actually out there applying the things that I'm teaching the people in the classroom. So, you know, I'll say, hey, here's a great tip. Why not do this? And then everybody's nodding their head in agreement, and then you will see me actually doing it out on the street or on stage. And it's a good way of learning. There's videos, there's transcripts of most of those videos, there's MP3s of those videos, and you know, there's lots of material on there, really. People are just blown away by the amount of material that's on there.
The one thing I really like about this program is how you structured it, the chronological order, how you've set it up. So you teach some of the most important things first. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. I call that part of it hypnosis backwards. And really what I'm doing is, it's similar to what I've talked about today. I'll talk about failure. I'll say, right, here we go. Before I teach you anything, I'm going to tell you what I'm teaching you is not a 100% method that's going to work with every single person. You will fail. But here's how you deal with failure and what types of failure are there. And then I talk about safety. And as part of that safety, I talk about the wake-up procedure. So I thought, well, if I'm going to do the wake-up procedure first, why not then work backwards through it? So I do. I work backwards through the whole thing so that inductions are fairly near the end of the breakers. But the great thing about that is it's modular. So there are chapters that are in reverse order, but then you can actually watch the chapters in the correct, in inverted commas, order. And you can watch it in the traditional order that you will go out there and do it yourself. And I don't expect people to have the exact same experiences as me. I don't say, here's an approach, do this approach and you'll eventually get somebody. It's taught in such a way that you will form your own approach. You will choose the routines, you will choose the inductions that are going to work best for you. And you won't be a clone of me.
Yeah, we don't need clones. Clones are
basically loads of them.
A clone is basically like a hypnotic tape that has no varying tone and doesn't change. It's the same message over and over. We don't want clones.
Definitely not. Definitely not. There's enough out there already, all right? And I've just told you they're all doing it wrong. You can make an impression by going out there and doing it right, by following what I teach in Street Gnosis. And if you follow that, you'll end up doing it right. You'll end up being a good entertainer. Well, I can't say that. I can't make you a good entertainer. But you will certainly have the grounding there if you're already a good entertainer. And if you're not already a good entertainer, you'll certainly know how to go out there and demonstrate hypnosis. So that when people say to you, what do? You don't say, oh, I'm the hypnotist, I'm the street hypnotist, you know? You'll actually say, I'll show you what I can do. And you show them exactly what you can do.
Let's say, one thing that Jeffrey Steven brings up is, let's say if you're doing street hypnosis, somebody's like, oh, I want to quit smoking. He's like, oh, here, he talks about how be able to do it there. Like people, you can give somebody a business card, but if somebody wants to quit smoking, if you can help them to quit smoking in the next 20 minutes, do it. If you have the time, the resources and everything, and if it's safe and the other person has time, might as well do it then. Just tell a person, like, hey, this is my rate. Half an hour from now, you'll be a non-smoker.
Yeah. You know what I would do? I would add to that. I would say, and get some people to watch as well.
That's a good way to do it.
Absolutely. Check with the person that they're okay with people watching, but obviously then it turns into a demonstration, it turns into a performance. How many other people watching do you think are thinking, shit, that issue I've got, I wonder if he can help with that?
Oh, that's brilliant. And you start passing out the business cards.
Yeah. To me, it's funny because I don't already do it this way. And I was shocked and disappointed when I watched some of the street hypnosis videos, because they all look the same. It's not good, you know. People have obviously watched people do it on YouTube, or they've bought a DVD and they've learned from the DVD one particular approach. And, you know, I mean, how many times have I seen the steepled fingers and, you know, magnetic fingers, whatever it's called? For goodness sake, eventually people are going to go, oh, that's hypnosis. Well, no, it's not, you know. Do us a favor. No wonder, seriously, no wonder lots of the stage hypnotists are turned against street hypnosis. I think we've got a responsibility as street hypnotists. If that's what you want to do, make it entertaining, take it seriously, do it professionally.
Yeah, so for anybody listening to this, if you really want to master hypnosis, and not just street hypnosis, if you really want to master the hypnotic arts, definitely check out Reg's program. And Reg, what else do people get when they buy the street hypnosis program?
Well, what I'll do is I'll put all of these 10 tips that we've been discussing in a PDF, okay? And they'll get that. But not only that, at the moment, and I'm going to have to limit the amount of time I offer this, I'm giving a one-hour free Skype mentoring call with me.
So I know your rates aren't really, I don't want to say they're not cheap. What's your normal rate usually?
I normally charge about 150 New Zealand dollars an hour. Okay, that's my usual rate. So that's about what, 120 US dollars at the current exchange rate. So basically, if you buy Street Gnosis, then you get an hour on Skype with me included. So you can see that as buying Street Gnosis, an online course, and getting an hour's free with me, or you can see it as getting an hour with me and buying it and getting a free online training course, whichever way around you want to view it. It's good value. It's something that obviously I'm going to have to limit the amount of time I offer that, because I don't want to spend every single hour of the day on Skype. But if you buy it right now and for a limited time, you will get that 1 hour with me. I'll give you my Skype address. I'll check that you've paid for the product, and we will hook up a Skype call where I can answer any of the questions that you're having. I can personalize your Street Gnosis experience for you by referring to bits on the course and going into more depth if needed.
But wait, there's more. Well, I want to say that anybody that buys through my affiliate link on this website, what I will do is I will give you a cash back refund. I'm not quite sure how much the refund's going to be yet, since I'm still setting up the affiliate links and everything. But whatever it is, I will give you a cash back refund. I might have to wait until after the 30-day the 30-day guarantee. See, there's a 30-day guarantee with your program, right?
There is, yeah. If you don't like what you see, then you can ask for your money back within 30 days.
Okay, and then so basically after the 30 days have gone up, I will give you a refund, a cashback refund. So basically you'll get an hour of Skype for free, an awesome Street Gnosis program, and you'll get a cashback refund.
It'll be one-on-one time with me over Skype. So, you know, the reason I'm doing this is that I'm on a mission, you can probably tell, you know. I don't want crap street hypnotists to ruin the industry that I've become a part of and have grown to love. So I'm offering this because I think you deserve it. I think it's worth it. And you're going to love it. And I'm going to put out a whole lot of better hypnotists out there.
And everybody listening, Reg and I, we have talked about setting up a hypnosis contest. Reg has agreed to give away a copy of his Street Gnosis program to one lucky winner.
And I'll tell you what I'm looking for. What I want, right, is a video of you entertaining an audience. That can be an audience of two people, three people. It can be two people and your neighbor's cat. And it doesn't have to be hypnosis. I just want to see a video of you being entertaining and that audience, whoever they might be, being entertained.
And if you add hypnosis into it, it makes it all better.
It does, but it's not essential, you know. I want to be entertained watching it, but I want to be entertained by watching other people being entertained. That's all I'm asking, okay? So that means you've got to set it up with a camera, and you've got to include the audience in whatever it is that you're doing. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see you entertaining someone, because that's what we've been talking about today. We've been talking about making hypnosis entertaining.
It's about the audience. It's not about you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so everybody listening, if you want to get a copy of this program and totally amp up your skills, just follow the directions on this blog post or on the YouTube video, whatever, and make a video of you entertaining people. Hey, for everybody listening to this It's Hypnosis podcast, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. And Reg, thank you very much for allowing me to interview you today.
It's been a pleasure.